email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, tomorrow night in the Helix, the RTE Concert Orchestra and Mark McGann are doing the story of John Lennon and Paul McCartney. It's called The Two of Us. Mark has joined us in studio. We're going to talk to him in a moment, but just to get you in the humour, a bit of this.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better.
Four minutes of a fade out on that one, Mark.
I was wondering about that.
It's one of the longest fade outs in the song
is.
Ever.
And
that's the one that finishes the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the one they walk out singing, Ray.
Yeah. I've seen pictures from performances around the UK, and it's a big moment, isn't it?
It's full on, yeah. And it's an opportunity for people to kind of, you know, get with the outpouring, really, because you can't play this music all night, even with an orchestra, without people wanting to get on their feet and sing dance
along.
Or something. Yeah.
Now, you've been John Lennon. We did the maths on this for longer than he was John Lennon, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's an odd thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really weird, actually. Someone was asking me today about whether or not my relationship has changed with him over the years. And of course, it's changed enormously. I mean, he only lived till he was 40, bless him, you know. I'm well beyond that.
And you started doing him, for want of a better phrase, in 1981, was it?
That's right. So it was within 6 months of the assassination. And by virtue of the fact that I happened to be at the Liverpool Everyman Theatre at the time in the company there as the youngest member, they had this play called Lennon, but it didn't have an ending. And as a result of John being assassinated. Yeah. We had this play Good to Go, which stole a march on about 2,500 plays that were written just after his assassination. Uh-huh, right. So that's how the Everyman Theatre in Liverpool, one of his own haunts, stomping ground, ended up doing the definitive version of his life. Really.
And little did you know that 44 years later, you'd still be...
Indeed. And still loving it.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's the thing. It's the music. I was singing along with Hey Jude.
Yeah, yeah.
You were. I just love it. I just love it.
Yeah. You know. They changed the world, didn't they, the Beatles?
In a massive way. I think the thing that I always find myself pondering on is just how... they broke new ground. It's almost like, you know, they were the first pop band who had a blank page. They said, you can go anywhere you like with them. And as a result of that, they were really experimental. When you think about the influence of McCartney with his very kind of eclectic background and that wonderful polarity between him and John's very kind of acerbic wit and things, it lends itself to incredibly different types of music.
I saw somebody describe them recently that you know, oftentimes with a band, you have one person with charisma, but all four of them had charisma.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I really think, I mean, even Ringo, bless him. And Ringo was a fantastic showman, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, probably the best actor of the four.
Well, here's the thing now, because the Beatles are in the news and there's pictures in all the papers today of the four actors who will play the Fab Four in Sam Mendes. Four movies. They're getting one each.
That's right.
That's never been done before.
Yeah, it hasn't been done before. I also saw somebody criticise him, a bit of a wag, because none of the actors were from Liverpool. Which
you're from Liverpool, so you're entitled to have an
so
opinion. What do you think?
I don't think it makes any difference whatsoever. I think if you're an actor, you're an actor. And Sam Mendes is a wonderful filmmaker. I'm sure they'll be brilliant.
Yeah, Harris Dickinson.
Indeed.
Is playing John Lennon.
Yeah.
The other thing that they're saying, and they have to say something, is that all the actors are in their late 20s,
mm-hmm.
When all the lads were in their late teens and early 20s when they started the Beatles.
Yeah.
So they're older than the Beatles were when they split up. Does
and I was
sense?
The other way around. I was 19 and I was playing him up to 40
right.
on film and on stage uh-huh. as well, which is...
And you were cast in the film, the 1985 film by Yoko Ono.
Yeah, she was the producer on it. It was called John and Yoko, A Love Story.
Yeah.
And they did it for NBC in the States. So they did a show there over two nights over there and they showed a short version of it. It was still 3 hours long, mind, in the UK later on, yeah.
And there was a moment at which, see, I had all these questions for you 10 years ago when I was listening back in 2015, you came in. I don't know what happened on the day, but we'd only a minute and 20 seconds left. And I do apologize again.
Not
I don't
at
know,
all.
I don't know what happened on the day, but so you were very good. You were very good about it. So it's taken 10 years. So Julian, John's son, saw you outside of the Dakota building in New York.
It was Sean, who was 10 years right. old at the time,
right.
saw me. We were shooting the assassination scene, believe it or not. And, you know, rather unfortunately, he walked out with Yoko and he broke down. It was terrible. I felt awful about it. But Yoko called me at the hotel later on and she invited me over the following day. So I spent the whole day with him, which was wonderful, actually, because she turned around to me and she said, OK, what do you want to know? And I essentially could ask her anything I wanted to ask
her. What did you ask her?
Well, I said, what was your first night like? She said, well, I won't go into the gory details.
Yeah,
she said, well, let me tell you a little story. She said, in the morning afterwards, he went out and got the newspapers and I was making breakfast and they came down and he put the papers out on the coffee table. And as I leant over to pick up, I think it was the Times, the Sunday Times, he slapped my hand. He said, I read them first. And she looked at me and she said, so, you know, that's the thing I sorted out first.
She sorted it out.
And I bet she did as well. She was the only person who could really control him. You know?
But it was a love story, wasn't it, between the two of them?
Very, very much so. I mean, it's well documented. They went through their difficulties like any relationship does. But I think, you know, there's no doubting the fact that it was the love of his life for sure.
There's an insatiable appetite for anything to do with the Beatles.
It's timeless, isn't it? And it goes, it's perennial as well. So you get every 2 years, you get a new influx of Beatle fans. It's people discovering them for the first time.
And through different ways, because we watched at home and like I've spoken to Beatles purists, and they hated this, but that Yesterday movie.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
You know what? It's one I haven't seen.
You should watch it.
Yeah, I believe it's great. I reserve the right to not watch every single Beatle film.
No, you have to. But, Mark, you have
but
to.
I love the Peter Jackson film.
Yes.
I thought that was amazing.
To see them,
Get Back.
That's it exactly. Just how they wrote Get Back. It was spectacular, wasn't it?
Yeah, amazing. And it was great to see them having such a good time because the play I was involved with, and which very much an influence on the John Lennon songbook, which we did before, two of us, told a story that became very definitive in the 80s through plays like ours, actually, where you focused on the tragedy of Lennon's life. If you do a show using John Lennon's music chronologically, it produces a most fantastic narrative arc. Because he wrote so autobiographically, you actually have the makings of a whole story right there in front of you. But it always ends tragically. Mm. And I think what Get Back showed us is that even though we feature the breakup of the Beatles that happens in Abbey Road and things where the orchestra, the RTE orchestra, become actors and they start kind of tuning up while we're having a fight across the stage. I think Peter Jackson's film really changed the narrative on that, seeing how much fun they were having, which even at that time they were having.
And Yoko reading the paper.
Exactly.
He obviously had read it beforehand.
And seeing Peter Sellers there and all of those guys. It was great.
There are a handful of tickets left for tomorrow night, the Helix, the RTE Concertosa, conducted by David Brophy, and Mark's there. So too are Joe Stilgo and Claire Martin. So David has become part of the Fab Four, so to speak, has he?
David
Brophy.
Oh yeah, for sure. I won't do the show without David Brophy these days, and the guys feel exactly the same. Dave Brophy's he's the best.
Right.
And we've had some conductors on this, but he's the best.
Now, you know, you've been living on and off, you know, the Beatles for over 40 years, so you should be very good at our little John or Paul quiz.
I can see this.
John or Paul quiz. Okay. So we're going to play you clips and we want to know who wrote this Beatles song.
Okay, go on.
And this is according to the Beatles archive.
Got you.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so let's go then. John or Paul quiz. Mark McGann, who has played John Lennon, so he should be better at spotting the John Lennon ones, I suppose. So John or Paul?
That's a Paul McCartney song.
You say Paul McCartney. It was 1967 title track of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club. It was Paul McCartney. Now, you see, I'm not a Beatles fan, but I would have said it sounds like John Lennon. But there you go. First one right. Good start. As we say in this country, too small Latin a Hebrew, which means a good start, half the work. Okay, so John or Paul? No, I know I'll
never John.
In My Life, 1965, from Rubber Soul, written by John Lennon. You're correct. George Martin on piano for that one. Right, you're doing well. Right. Okay, there's the piano there. Okay, John or Paul quiz. This is number three.
John
is correct. 1967. Paul helped out a little bit, but it was mainly John gets the credit. From Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band.
He wrote it after it was a picture his son Julian had done of his best friend Lucy at nursery school. And he said he never even thought about the fact that it came out as LSD. He said he hadn't even considered that, tongue in cheek. Because the BBC banned it for being a drug song, you see.
So what is the truth?
Oh, well, of course he knew.
Of course. Okay, so 3 out of 3. Number 4 in our John or Paul quiz. Hello? And then while I'm away,
I'll ride home every day. That's a Paul song.
It is a... You're very good. He's very good at this. It is a Paul song, 1963. With the Beatles was the album, and written by Paul McCartney. Right, 4 out of 4. Thanks, Paul. And we're on to number 5. Last night I said these words
to my girl. That's a John song, I think.
It is a John song, yes, yeah. It is a John song. Yeah, you're an expert, yes. Do you get called up if there's a Beatles quiz down
the pub? Down the pub.
Down the pub, yeah. Right, it's a clean sheet so far. We've 3 to go. This is the next one. I'm so glad
that she's my little girl. That's a John song.
It is a John song, this one.
Paul.
That's a Paul song, you're right. And finally,
Paul.
That's a Paul song. Mark McGann, hello, goodbye. Good luck tomorrow night. It's the two of us at the RTE Concert Orchestra in the Helix, a handful of tickets left. Mark McGann, great to see you. Thanks
great
so
to see
much.
You, Ray.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
That's it from us. Cormac is on Drive Time with Sarah. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.